this morning, 021-446-0567, or drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567, with your thoughts, your concerns, your comments on these and any other interviews you may have heard or events happening in your world. I really appreciate your engagement. Now, the online shopping giant Amazon's plans for a new African headquarters on a piece of prime real estate in Cape Town is facing opposition from a coalition of environmental and also heritage protection organizations. Now, the city of Cape Town recently approved a 4 billion rand development, of which Amazon will be its anchor tenant. It will be on 15 hectares of land in Observatory next to the Liesbeek River and is expected to boost the Cape Town economy and create thousands of jobs. That is the PR pitch for this development. But the proposed development is also contentious, and that area is said to be ecologically sensitive at the confluence of the Liesbeek and the Black Rivers. Also, you have one group representing the interests of Khoi groups who have welcomed the development in return for a cultural center and memory center, though another group also representing Khoi interests say the land is sacred and they don't want a development like the Amazon development there. Tari Jenkins is the High Commissioner of the Horan Haikona Khoi Traditional and Indigenous Council. Tari, thanks so much for coming on air with us. Firstly, let's start at this contentious issue of you have one group saying that they represent the interests and the heritage of Khoi and San people who approve of this development, and then you have another group saying we also represent the interests of Khoi and San Indigenous people, but we oppose this development. Is this going to be ending up a battle of who gets to represent Khoi interests, particularly for this and future developments in the city of Cape Town?
Good morning, Lester, and thank you very much for having me this morning. I think the question rather is, it's not so much as who's going to be battling to represent the Khoi, Khoi and San, but where the principles of the matter have to be defended. And I think that with regards to this development, the majority of Khoi, Khoi and San reject this development because it goes against a number of key principles. The 150,000 square meters of concrete bulk on a sacred floodplain that threatens to infill part of a sacred river and redirect it somewhat, as well as the environmental concerns that this particular development threatens is something that that we really don't take lightly. The historical significance of this place is of immense significance, both nationally and internationally. The place is being it's undergoing three grading processes: a provincial nomination process, national nomination, and has also been placed on the tentative list to UNESCO for a World Heritage Site. So the intangible and tangible heritage resources of the site have to be preserved and looked after. And for a place which was and has been recognized as a place where the very first colonial dispossession of land took place in 1657, it was also the place of the first frontier wars in 1659, and a ground zero precinct in terms of the very first colonial battle of attrition on the 1st of March 1510. This is an epicenter of the entanglement between sort of colonial conquest and the Khoi, Khoi and San, but also a place that recognizes the pre-colonial historical significance of the place, and a sacred area also known as Tamilori Kayas, which is where the place where the stars gather. That's where the South African Observatory is. And the idea of building an Amazon concrete block on top of sacred terrain and then having the arrogance and temerity of arguing that this is addressing spatial planning by employing the descendants of the Khoi, Khoi and San to ostensibly dig up and desecrate a spiritually significant place of the ancestors is something that really needs to be looked at very carefully.
Now, Tariq, when you talk about the principle of sacred and ecological space, there is going to come a time where either those who are for development or those who are against the development are going to say, but we have the endorsement of these sides. And these sides seem to be and are in conflict with each other. So in terms of the identity of who represents Khoi and San interests, I know that there is the traditional Khoi and San Act that was passed in Parliament, signed by the President. But when people want to have an endorsement, when people want to say this development or non-development is endorsed, it's going to come to a conflict where people are going to, at the end of the day, maybe approach the courts and say, well, we are the legitimate voices of Khoi and San people. And that seems quite unfortunate.
In terms of legitimacy and in terms of who has the right to come into that site, this site is a place that is also universal commons. We have a number of councils, as I said, most of the Khoi Khoi and San groups are against this development, including the Khoi and San Kingdom Council of Southern Africa, the Kotchakwa Royal House, the Kla Restorative Justice Forum, the First Indigenous Nation of South Africa, the Gorinai Corner. And I think what's really important for us is to ensure that cultural agency is not being deployed in a way that takes away the constitutional democratic rights of other South Africans to comment on something that is also very important to them. And what's very concerning is that you would have a group of traditional leadership that would ratchet up amongst themselves a sense of custodianship on a precinct that has relevance that stretches from here all the way to Southern Africa, across Southern Africa. When the war hit in 1659, it precipitated into 16 Khoi wars. The Khoi communities of the Western Cape fanned out across the continent, and the impact of this can be felt in Namibia, Botswana, Angola, and so forth. And so the essential qualities of who can comment on the site cannot be limited only to one group. However, it's very, very important that the Khoi Khoi and San is in the center and remains in the center of this particular heritage argument, because we're dealing about the unrecognition, for example, of the genocide of the Cape Town, of indigenous animals that were wiped out because of can hunting once Jan van Riebeeck put up that fence, that palisaded fence that cordoned off either side of the river. And the establishment of the Freeburger farmers' farms for the first time that ostensibly tells us where land was stolen through the gifting of title deeds by the Dutch East India Company. And I think that as far as the notion of who represents you, this is a divide and conquer mechanism that we've seen before. The Western Cape, in terms of identity and also in terms of communities that relate as descendants of the descendants, so-called colored communities of the San and Khoi, have been, this is a political dimension that is typical of the Western Cape in terms of how communities are primed for divide and conquer. But we're very confident that this is a single issue of immense historical and environmental and cultural significance. But one thing for sure about the Gorinai Corner stance, together with the 50,000 objections that are in place, and the other revivalist and traditional councils, is that Amazon cannot be a symbol of our liberation and freedom.
Very quickly, Tariq,
it cannot be that monument.
There have been, as you said, petitions sent to Amazon. There's murmurings of legal action. Have our papers being developed yet to oppose that development or that decision on the development?
Yes, there are a number of violations with regards to this development. There have been violations in terms of how communities and civil society has been have not been consulted properly. The notion of meaningful engagement is really something that has, over the past 3 years, 4 years, with this particular development, is much to be desired. There are gross threats in terms of violations to the environment, violations to the city's own policy, and of course the heritage component is is an absolutely vital aspect here that needs to be restored. This is a place where Jan van Riebeeck put his pole in this ancient terrain on the banks of the Liesbeek River and stabbed at the root of the ancestors of mankind itself. And there's a wound there that all of us are, as South Africans hold.
Let's feel
that this is a place of healing and not about division.
Let's look ahead, Tariq, and we have unfortunately 2 minutes left, but let's look ahead. Are you open to some form of development? Are you for a development that benefits groupings and memory, or are you calling for no development of that confluence of the Black and the Liesbeek River?
The answer is simple, Lester. The reason why this development is costing 3 to 4 times more than what it would is because it's on a floodplain. You take this development and you put it anywhere else, you would have 3 developments, which means you'd be able to employ triple the amount. And on top of that, you don't have to devastate the environment and desiccate our sacred heritage. So what we're saying is that if it's Amazon, they have enough clout and capital to go and find a different place which is more suitable. And this whole idea that it's going to be providing jobs on this scale at the expense of our sacred terrain is unacceptable. It can be done 5 times over at a more appropriate spot. And so the argument here is about common sense, about principles, and what we stand for as South Africans.
High Commissioner of the Horonai Kona Khoi Khoi Traditional and Indigenous Council, Tariq Jenkins, joining us on the line there from Observatory. Your thoughts on the Observatory Amazon development? Give me a call, 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. A message that's come in echoes Tariq's sentiments. I urge the city of Cape Town to find alternative fallow land for the River Club development. Our community green space should never be given development rights, destroying our wetlands, says this message. What are your thoughts? 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. My name is Lester Kivett, and you're listening to The Morning Review. And with that, it's gone exactly 10:30, and time now for your Eyewitness News headlines.
Thanks.